So the anointing is there to be able to equip you to do what God has requested of you or required of you. And who knows that God has a requirement on your life. In fact, he has an investment in you. Yeah, amen? He actually has an investment in you. So he's invested in you to be able to do and expedite what he desires for your life and for his kingdom. Amen? It says, I think it's in Ephesians, it says, for the inheritance in the saints. He has an inheritance in the saints. All right? In other words, he's going to have a day when he comes and collects. So he equips you. God will never ask you to do anything you're not able to do in the anointing. Amen? Everything you require or is needed to fulfill the call of God is already in you. It might not be activated in you, but it is in you. Amen? So, with this anointing, and I said there was five things that the anointing oil is made up of, five things. We're going to quickly go through those five things because they're specific. In Exodus, Moses was given the instructions of how to mix the oil, the anointing oil. If you abused the anointing oil in any way, if you anointed anything else besides what God said it was anointed, you were to die. So sacred is the anointing oil. And may I say this, so sacred is the anointing on your life. It is sacred. It is not flippant. It is not so... Well, I cringe sometimes when I hear things like, I demand the anointing. You've got no right to demand anything. I'm sorry, you don't. It's by his grace, his mercy on your life. And if he wants to release something through you, he will. If he doesn't, he doesn't. That's okay. Amen? You just perform what he's expected of you and you shall fulfill what's on your life. So the anointing is made up of five things. Five things. The Apocrypha, which is the type of the Holy Ghost, balances it all out. He was told how to balance it out. He mixes it with perfection to that which God required to anoint the instruments and the priesthood to be set aside for the glory of God. He anointed the instruments and he anointed the priesthood. Hello, royal priesthood. Are you not a royal priesthood? Hello, royal priesthood. You are anointed by God. You've been set aside by God. You are a royal priest in the kingdom of God. Therefore, you have a function in the house. Amen. That's why it's ridiculous for Christians to come and get from church. They usually should be coming to what? You've got to give. The whole aspect of being priesthood and serving is to give. Amen? Anyway, are you with me? Good. Can I have my glasses, love? I don't know if I've put it in here. It might be in my case. Can I have the first slide, please? I've been so good to you, I've written it out. Might be in there, yeah. Anyway, I don't need it. I'm full of it. Exodus 30, verse 22 to 25 says, then the Lord said to Moses, take the following spices, 500, I've got, it's all right, I'm reading it from there. Thanks, Robbie. 500 shekels or 5.7 kilograms of myrrh. These are the five spices, the myrrh. Half as much of that is cinnamon. Half of that again is fragrant calamus, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hin, or 4.5 liters of oil. I need my notes, not my glasses. That my notes? Good. Thanks. Everything in the tabernacle used for God's service had to be anointed, and it's separated for the glory of the kingdom of God. You've been set aside for the glory of the kingdom of God. I want to really reiterate this. You are set aside for the glory of the kingdom of God. When you are set aside for God, you are no longer your own. You belong to another. He has purchased you. You've been bought with a price. Do we understand that? If you go to Exodus, I think it's Exodus 32, 33, you will see a description of what it means by being owned. When a slave, it says, who was a son of Egypt, son of Israel, was bought as a slave, he had to be released after the seventh year. Amen? what happened was he had to come in. He went in with all his garbage into the house of the master. If he married someone in the house, when he left, he had to leave everything behind, including the wife and the children. They did not belong to him. If he took a wife into slavery, she belonged to him, therefore she could be released with him. Amen. After 7 years, he could choose whether to stay in the master's house or not. He had a choice. If he chose to leave, everything he had gathered in the master's house, he had to leave behind. And everything he brought in, he took with him. Okay? When we come into the master's house, we usually bring with us garbage, brokenness, rebellion, sin, brokenness, barrenness, you name it, we bring it. Then when they're in the master's house, he blesses. Here's the situation. You can always leave the house. But if you leave the house, whatever you've been blessed with in the house stays at the house. His peace, his joy, his goodness, his blessing, his happiness stays with the house. You go back out with your, what you came in with, your brokenness, your hopelessness, your despair. So it's crazy to think as a servant you can walk in and out of God's house and stay so blessed. You can't. That's why when I backslid for 3 years, it was hell on earth. Because everything I thought I still had, I had to leave in the house. Amen. Anyway, that's off the subject. So, this anointing has the power to break yokes. God has designed the power to break yokes over your life by the power of prayer, by the power of fasting, by the power of intercession. You can have yokes broken off your life once and for all. Amen. God wants his people to be set free and delivered and walk in the freedom and the liberty of their God. And there has to be a distinction between them and us. That man, I forgot one big part, that man, if he wanted to stay in the house, had to go to the gate of the city, put his head against the wall, and they drove an owl through his ear. Nice big metal stake. And he put it there willingly. And they put this stake through his ear and they went whack. And they drove the stake through his ear. Therefore, whoever looked on him knew he belonged to someone. When people in the world look at us, they should be able to see a distinction in our life. They should know that I'm owned, I belong to someone, and his name of my master is Jesus. Amen. Jesus. That is not the one. That's the one. Next one, please. So the first spice is called myrrh. That word myrrh literally means meekness, submission to the ways and the direction of the Spirit. Myrrh. The first ingredient of an anointed life is meekness. I said it this last week. Meekness is strength under control. Strength under control. It doesn't mean you don't feel. It doesn't mean you might even get agitated, upset with someone. It just means that you control it under subjection to the Holy Ghost, under the anointing of God. Amen. He said the first thing that you've got to put in the anointing is a spice called myrrh. Myrrh is a fragrance that comes from the trunk of a conifer tree. What they do, they cut this tree, and it's so thick that it comes out like a teardrop. Then they have to treat it with alcohol to take anything out of it. Then they have to put it under pressure and steam. And it liquefies it, become a oil. Amen? So you and I have to experience meekness, and sometimes that means there has to be some pressure exerted in my life, some heat exerted in my life, and maybe some alcohol that rubs me up the wrong way and causes pain sometimes. Pain sometimes that will cause a process of this purification in my life. It's called meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Amen? And so if you've got an anger issue, anyone ever got angry? Three of us, that's all right. The rest are dead. Anger is not the problem. Did God get angry? Can I get angry and sin not? Yes. The anger is this: when I lose the control of where I'm at in Christ and become submitted and subject to the anger that will cause me to retaliate in an ungodly manner. That is what he's talking about. Can I get angry against sin? Yes. Can I get angry with the person that's creating the sin? No. I've got to separate the sin from the person. All right? Especially if they're unsaved, because they've got no leading of the Spirit of God. There's only one spirit that is leading an unsaved person, and that's the devil. That's the truth. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. There's no in between. There's no gray in God. Amen? There's no sitting on the fence and rocking backwards and forwards between the darkness and light. Jesus calls that lukewarmness, and he spit you out of his mouth. All right? So as the steam passes through the gum, it melts to an oil and it becomes a perfume. The next slide, please. The Bible says in Numbers 12:3 that Moses was the meekest man in the whole world that ever lived. He reached this place not overnight. It took 40 years, actually. It took 40 years for Moses to get this place. He heard the call of God as a young man. He killed an Egyptian thinking he was doing God's service. Anyone done something wrong that you think was God's service? Of course we have. We've killed our Egyptians. And then he ran. And so this commander, this captain of an army of thousands, this warrior, this eloquent man of knowledge and wisdom, became a shepherd. And God had to knock out of him some stuff. So when he met him on the mountaintop, he had to realize that it was God that was the author and the finisher of everything. And then he had to take him back to his mountain to face what he had to face from before. You cannot cheat what God wants to do in your life. It might cost you to go around the mountain, and it might take a journey of 40 years to get back to where you should have been, but he will get you back. He will cause you to face your pharaohs. He will cause you to face your things of unbelief, your things of fear, your things of doubt. He will cause you to keep facing them until you trust him more than it. And then you're prepared then to cross over. Amen. He was the meekest man. He had to submit to what was God's. There was consequences. And he had to put his stubbornness aside. And he had to say yes to God in spite of his fears. Sometimes you have to walk scared. Sometimes you have to walk scared. Faithful, but still scared. Anyone ever done that? Has anyone been asked by God to step out of the boat when their waves are still going around? Next one, please. Second one is cinnamon. Who likes cinnamon on their cakes? Most of the cinnamon that we eat is not cinnamon. Most of the cinnamon that we as Westerners eat is actually cassia bark. It's not from the cinnamon tree at all. Cinnamon is usually grown in a place called Sri Lanka, and that's got the true cinnamon tree. And there's counterfeits of cinnamon, all right? But cinnamon literally means uprightness, appealing away. So what they do, they allow this tree, only the strong, upright branches to grow. The other branches that are going wayward and wily, they cut it off. Doesn't that what the husband does to the? Doesn't that what the husbandman does when he comes to the vineyard, and he chops down, and cuts and prunes to make it grow a certain way? Doesn't he do that for your life and my life? Eh? And sometimes doesn't he cut and you think that's a bit deep, and all of a sudden you don't realize what's in you, and all that sap has to come out and bring healing to the cut, because everything that was needed was already in the tree. Anyway, I'm getting off the beaten track again. So it's a sweet-smelling spice. The next anointing ingredient comes from a tree that goes straight 30 to 40 feet. They allow it to grow. They grade it, the top part to the bottom part. By the thickness of the bark, is by its, what happens is it's by its measure, its value. So the thinnest part that is only might be a mil thick in bark, that's more valuable than the thick old stuff. And so that's how it's graded. What happens is the person takes it and he splits it. In fact, what he does, he grates all the bark off. It actually looks like a potato peeler. They peel the bark, the outward bark, you know, the rough stuff. Cut everything off that needs to be cut so it's straight. Now, I'm speaking typology here, so you better think that you are a tree of what? Planted by the Lord. So he will cut off the old. He will get you and he'll cut off all the little branches. He will make it straight, ready for the master's use. And then all of a sudden, the skilled worker gets a knife, cuts the bark around the sap and peels it off. And that's what God does with us. He peels layers off your life to reveal the real you. Because if we can really, can we just be frank and really honest? We can walk in here with that many masks on. How you going? Really good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And you're walking out of here and you're living like a dog. We can have so many masks. The problem is, I can have the mask in front of you, but I can't have a mask in front of him. Because he knows the intents and thoughts of my. So God peels away the layer. And he'll peel away things in my life and your life. But it has to be an upright. And God requires us to be upright in our walk. God requires us to be upright in matters. Upright doesn't just mean self-righteousness. Upright means in the things of the Spirit. Upright in truth. Upright in truth. Upright in integrity. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Upright in character. Not having a cause to do something for reward. Amen? Being standing upright attracts an anointing on your life. Leviticus 21:20 says a crooked man, a bent man, wasn't able to minister before the Lord. Same verse says a man with a flat nose. That word flat nose literally means without discernment. When someone robs someone, or embezzles someone, we call them what? They're a crook. They're a crook. What we're literally saying is they're bent over. They're not upright. Not right standing. They're a crook. Amen? I remember my dad telling me a story when I was a young man. My dad was on holidays from the army. He's walking down there all proud with his uniform on. And this old bloke comes running up to him. Well, not running, shuffling towards him. He says, Jasper. My dad's name's Jasper. Jasper, Jasper. The bloke's bent over. The only thing he could see was the ground. He says, Jasper, Jasper. My dad said, what? He says, lend me a quid till I get straightened out. My old man says, you'll never get straightened out. But sometimes, may I say this, sometimes in life, certain things can make me crooked. Weights of things can cause me not to look to him and keep me looking down, despondent, apathetic, not full of faith, not full of the fire, not able to stir up the gift. And so I'm not walking upright. God wants you to walk upright in faith, walk upright in his promises, walk upright in his goodness, walk upright in his mercy, walk upright in his and everything he's given for your life. Look up. from where your help comes from. It isn't in your strength. Amen? Next one, please. So the way you carry yourself in front of others. This is what it's talking about. How do I carry myself in front of others? The way other people see you. You need to be upright in your walk, in the anointing. If you've got a crooked back, get straightened out. How do I get straightened out? Confess my sin. Get it right with people. Forgive. Show mercy. Show gratitude. If you can't stand straight, you don't qualify for the service of God. In other words, you're limiting the anointing on your life. Amen? It's not physical, it's spiritual. Here's a footnote hint. Write this down. If you're going to write anything down, write this down. Your character and your integrity are your two witnesses. They will speak on your behalf when you're not here. When you are not present, they will still speak. Things like this. If you're a man of integrity and character, say David, man of integrity and character, and he walks away and someone starts talking about David, that's not the David I know. No, he's a good bloke. No, what he says he'll do. No, you got that wrong. His integrity and character that's been deposited is bearing witness to him. Amen? Write this question down. Don't answer it now. You can answer it yourself later. What are people saying about me? What are people saying about me? These two witnesses speak on your behalf even when they are present or absent. Amen? Integrity, character. Integrity, character. Integrity, character. Am I a man of my word? Is my yes, yes, and my no, no? Do I uphold the truth against all other things? Am I a man of the truth? Or do I sway with the opinion of man? I must be a man. If I want to attract the anointing of heaven, I must be a man of integrity and character and woman. Next one, please. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 17, New King James says this. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and you have pleasure in what? What does God have pleasure in? Uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer you willingly to you. Let's stop. There is a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is determined on what's happening now. Today I just got feeling really blessed because this happened and this happened today. It's in the now. But joy is an internal fortitude of faith and trust in God's promises regardless of what's happening outside. That's why he says this, the joy of the Lord is your, not the happiness. Joy of the Lord. Why? Because my joy is anchored in promise by faith. Amen. New Living Translation says this, I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity. When God finds integrity, he rejoices. Why? Because it's of his spirit. You know I've done all this with good motives. I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. Job 2 and 3, New Living Translation. Did Job go through sufferings?
Yes.
Did he have a few issues?
Yes.
Eh? Eh? Both physical, emotional, and spiritual. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest man in all the earth. He's blameless, a man of complete integrity. His integrity got God's attention. When you walk in integrity, it gets God's attention, and he blesses you, he trusts you to walk in the anointing of the Spirit, so he gives you a little bit more. Amen. He fears God and stays away from evil. He has maintained his integrity, even though you urge me to harm him without cause. he still kept his integrity. Did Joseph keep his integrity? Thrown into prison, blamed because of sexual immorality, kept his integrity. Yet in the prison, what did God do? Blessed him. Honored him. Made room for him. And then when God had knocked out everything he needed to knock out of Joseph, which was something, because everyone's got something. Hear me, all of us are in a process of being made what he wants me to make, be made to. Joseph even had a problem. Yet when the problem was knocked out of him, Joseph took him from a prison to a palace. With such grace that when he met his 11 brothers, he said, "This is not your doing. God brought me here." Amen. Next one, please. Third one is calamus. It's humility. Calamus is a reed. What happens is the reed grows in swamps and the head gets full and it bends. And you know it's full when it bends. Amen? It speaks of bending low. If my master can bend low, when my master bent low to wash the disciples' feet, when my master, the creator of heaven and earth, the one whose hands made things and the one whose voice declared things and created things, could humble himself and wash the feet of that which he created. That's humility. But God, Jesus was showing me there's a strength in humility. He was showing me there's a power in humility. Amen. So when you humble yourself, my Bible says, you shall be. Hallelujah. God was showing us it's not about your name, it's not about your popularity, it's not about your charisma, it's about serving people. That's what humility is about, to serve people. If you want to walk in the anointing, you first must walk in humility. Next one. Fourth one is cassia. It's an inner cleansing. That's where you get the word senna from. Anyone knows what senna is used for? It purges you. You use it when you're bunged up. You take a tablet called senna. You go to the chemist, and there's a little picture of this little flower, and it's senna. And you take it, and you will go through a cleansing. Hallelujah. It cleanses the inside, which then affects the outside. Amen. Malachi 3 and 2 says, "But he who can endure the day of his coming and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap." In other words, there will be a fire and there will be a washing. There will be a fire and there will be a washing. The fire will purge out what needs to be purged out with only the pressure of the fire can do. But the refiner's soap, the fuller's soap, a fuller is a person that used to get a garment that was made and he would take it outside the city. He took it outside the city because it stunk. In fact, it was called the fuller's field. Amen? And don't forget, in them days when they made stuff, little bits of wheat and grass and all that was still stuck in the fibers, and they would get a rock and they would pound it on the rock and they would get the water and they keep washing it. Then they get the fuller's soap and they would scrub it and scrub it and scrub it until that mixture became white. And they would get out all the little irritants out of the wool. Hallelujah. You seen the picture? That God washes you. Sometimes he'll throw you on the rock. And praise be to God that you're getting thrown on the rock and the rock is not coming down on you. Hallelujah. And he'll get the water of the word and he will keep washing you and he'll get the soap that is needed, the right ingredient that is needed, and he'll do it all privately. Praise be to God. He'll do it all privately and he'll not let my guard be seen by other people, but he'll allow the work of the Spirit to be done privately. But woe betide if you don't let him do it privately, because he's not embarrassed to do it publicly. Your God would rather embarrass you so he can save your soul. Hallelujah. So there's a working. Cassia is also be called cinnamon. It's a copycat. It is not real. The Chinese, the Vietnamese, the Cambodians, the Thais, they all call it cinnamon, but it's actually the bark of a cassia tree. Hallelujah. Because what this should be doing to me is making me authentic in my walk. I don't have to be anyone else. I shouldn't have to try and do anything other people are doing. I've got to become authentic in my walk. It attracts. When you get confident in who you are in God, it doesn't matter what other people are saying and other people are doing. You know what God has for you. You know where you stand with God. You know that your God loves you. You don't need to try and prove anything to anyone else. You are who you are by the grace of God. And that confidence in that stops me trying to be something I'm not. I can be authentic before him. I'll say it like this. Adam was naked before him when he walked in the garden, but he was unashamed. In other words, you can let all your dirty washing hang out and he'll wash it. He'll actually wash it for you. But you've got to present it to him. I've got to present everything that is dirty to the king and leave it at the cross so he can then get the fire, he can then get the full of soap and cleanse me. Amen. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there is any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting." Lead me in the way of everlasting. That's what David's cry was. Try me. So why would David say to God, try me, search me to see if there is, because he had a confidence in the love of God that he was not going to kill him. Next one, I'm going to finish on this. Last one is olive oil. All these ingredients are bound together with olive oil. You've got to get in a place where you soak in the Spirit. That's the only way I could write this. Where you allow the Spirit to soak in your life through your mind. Amen. Through your mind. And I want to reiterate that. I think it's in Psalm 133 or 139, where the anointing oil was poured on Aaron's head. 133. Poured on Aaron's head. Gentlemen. Oh, it's up there. Good. Gentlemen, I want to say this. And if your gentleman isn't here, you stand in the gap for him. Gentlemen, I want to say this. You better get in a place where the anointing is starting to flow in your life because it will affect your house. It won't just affect your house. It will affect the generations of your house. Amen. That is the order of God. Flowed from Aaron's beard, who's the type of? Who's Aaron the type of? Jesus. He's the high priest, right? Who's the next? Who's the glory of God? The man. Remember that in Corinthians? The man, isn't he? He's the glory. Who's the glory of the man? The woman. All right? Then the child comes underneath. So there's order. All right? Not saying the man's any better. Right? Equality, different function. But there is a flow. There is an order in God. And there's an order in the house, the natural house, my physical home, where the man has to take his place. The man has to take his place in the house, all right? And allow that oil to flow on him. Get in a position to allow that oil. In other words, meditate on the things of God. Meditate on the things of God. I was just discussing with someone this week. If I could count how many times people meditate on TV, compared to the things of the Bible. And I've been guilty of that. I have. I've been guilty of that. Has anyone not been guilty of that? We've all been guilty of something. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But what I've got to do is allow there to be awakening in my spirit. Say, God, change me. God, change me. So the last and perhaps the most important ingredient is God's recipe. And the anointed life is anointing oil, is olive oil. Olive oil represents the presence of God in our lives in the person of the Holy Spirit. In the person of the Holy Spirit. When anointed oil was used in the Old Testament to anoint religious leaders, olive oil was the largest ingredient present in the mix. The Apocrypha would pour in the perfumes and there'd be a stirring. There'd be a stirring in the Spirit. And God should be stirring you. There should be a provocation in the Holy Ghost. When you see unrighteousness, when you see things of injustice, there should be a stirring and a provoking in my spirit saying, that's not right. Amen? So these leaders would be soaked, running down their beards, under their collars and on their robes. Like the Old Testament leaders, we need to be soaked in the presence of God, be anointed with fresh oil of the Holy Ghost. The one time you got anointed by God is not the last time you should be anointed by God. In the book of Acts, you will read consistently, and they were filled, and they were filled, and they were filled. When's the last time I was filled? And please don't wait for a setting in a church to do that for you. It won't happen. Your filling should be in the secret place with your God when He's provoking and He's stirring the oil in your life, or He's dealing with the peeling away, or He's dealing with issues and attitudes in my spirit, and He's dealing with the myrrh, and He's dealing with the humility, and He's dealing with all those issues in my life. That's when you are getting stirred and provoked in the Holy Ghost to get more of Him. Because when He sees that in your life with the integrity and character, He'll pour out more. Pour it out, Jesus, pour it out. And you're living in adultery, you're living in idolatry. He's not going to pour it out on that. He ain't going to do it. He's a holy God. He will not bless unholy things. He'll bless consecrated things. Is that too heavy? That's all right? I don't care if it was anyway. Next one, please. If you want to walk in the anointing of God, to live in the fullness of the power and the presence, I must be meek, upright, humble, penitent heart for any wrongdoing. Away with this doctrine that says you don't have to repent. It's of the devil. So it's not a hint of the anointing. We must seek the Lord, be active in daily filling of the Spirit of the Lord in my life. The last one, the slide. You must stand upright. You must stand for truth. You must stand for righteousness. You must stand on His promises. You must stand against the enemy. Sometimes that means standing against popular opinions. In other words, don't run with the crowd for the sake of running with the crowd. You must stand in mercy. You must stand in forgiveness. You must stand in grace. And above all, doing all to stand, stand therefore in unity. Amen. In unity. Because it's the unity that will command the blessing of heaven in your life. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. I said something earlier. If you want this more, who understands that God has fresh oil? Can you get me Zechariah 4? Is it, I think it's Zechariah 4. The story goes like this. And before the throne of God, there was these two trees. And it says, and there was a flow from the two trees, from the throne of heaven, flowing out of them. Some people think that's Elijah and Moses. Some people think it's Christ and the church. I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'm just going to tell you there's two trees. But the most important thing is this. If you look up your index and your cross-reference of what it means, it will say this. They are sons of fresh oil. Zechariah 4 and 6. They are sons. It's all right, I've finished now. They are sons of fresh oil. I want to prophesy and decree to you this morning. There is an oil waiting for you. He wants you to be a son of fresh oil, not to get. It was pouring out of them. Out of your belly shall flow of what? Living waters. An anointing on your life flowing out of you, touching humanity out of you, bringing healing and deliverance to the sick and the broken, out of your belly, out of the inner man of you, that spirit man, a fresh oil. And the more you give out, but if I refuse to stand upright, if I refuse to do any of those things, there will be a limitation on the anointing. Amen. Who wants more fresh oil? Who wants to be effective for the kingdom of God? We need this anointing. We need this anointing to mature in my life. I need a fresh flow of the anointing. I can't keep celebrating yesterday's victory. I'm living for today. Amen. All I'm doing there is just living in the past. God has so much more for you in your future. Hallelujah. But sometimes there's a cost. He will have to peel away. He will have to allow the fire to come. He will have to deal with issues in my life, and sometimes privately. But if you allow him to do it, integrity, character. Have you seen my servant Noel? Man full of integrity and character. Have you seen my servant David, a man full of integrity? Have you seen my servant Maria, woman full of integrity and character of God? Have you seen my servant Matilda? He brags about you. He brags to the devil how good you are. He brags to them because he knows that your confidence is in him. Glory to God. That's the more that I want. Hallelujah. That's you. You just raise your hands before. I'm going to pray a prayer. But you better expect the fire. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. Father, we want the fresh oil. We want to be those sons of fresh oil in the house. We want you to flow through us, Father. We want to be effective in this hour. We want your kingdom to come. Father, this morning, we bow our knee, and Father, we bring those things that, Lord, might not be submitted to you this morning, that we might be holding on to, Father. God, we bring them to the foot of the cross and say, here we are. Lord, we ask you to purge us with your fire, Father, that the fullest soap, Father, will wash us clean in your hands. We ask you to have your way in us and through us, that this anointing might grow upon us, that we might be effective in the kingdom of God like never before. Lord, we want to see revival. But to have revival, we have to have the anointing of the Spirit. Father, we need the power of God. We ask you to use us. Here I am, Lord. Use me. You hear the cry of your servants' hearts this morning. Fill us afresh, Holy Ghost. Baptize us afresh, Holy Spirit. I receive it by faith. Not waiting for a feeling. I receive it by faith this morning. Help me to walk in integrity and character. Let my witnesses, Father, bear glory to your name. Wherever I am, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you love him? Yes. Let's give him a praise this morning. Oh, you're a good God. You're a good God. Hallelujah. One of the prime purposes. No, I am finishing, but I'm not finishing. I want to pray for the men, the male factor of the church. I shouldn't say it like that because there could be someone that's the opposite sex that thinks they're a man. I want to pray for the males of the house. Amen. The males of the house, because the anointing needs to flow through you to others around you. If you have not got a male in the house, you are the next head of your house. Therefore, you are more than welcome. Please hear me. God has got no distinction in that. No littling of that. You are the next level he pours through and upon. Amen. To be effectual in your house. Amen. So if that's you this morning, I want you to lift up your hands. Wives, I want you to put your hands towards it. And if your husband's not here, by faith. Come on. By faith. Hallelujah. Father, I uplift every head of the house right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you for a fresh impartation of the anointing of heaven in this hour like never before to lead this household well. I ask in Jesus' name, Father, that, Lord, you will give them a portion, not double portion, but a portion without measure. That, Father, they would be, Lord, they would come under your auspice of the anointing of God and be changed and transformed in Jesus' name to be effectual for generations to come in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for that deposit, fresh deposit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and some fellowship. That would be wonderful. And God bless you for a successful week. Amen.